The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Okay, good morning, and welcome to Talk Saratoga. And I'll tell you right off the bat, I am not giving anybody permission to record any part of the show, so you better pay attention to that. I put on Facebook last night, and I got a couple responses from people that I asked for some of their traditions and maybe some food. But I also put on there that our guest and my friend, John Winnick, who is the, hold on here, bring up my, there you go, John Winnick, who's the retail supervisor of dining services at Skidmore College, and I wish John would open up a either restaurant or I don't know if he caters, but I had one of the hamburgers, or I had to do some work out here last week, and he was so kind to have me stay for lunch, and boy, I'll tell you, I never had as great a hamburger as I had then, and if you're listening, John, you're a hell of a cook. But John's under the weather, and we decided that it would be best to have him not come in, because I want him to get better for Christmas because he's got a lot of cooking to do and his wife won't let up. So now she's a very nice person. And I want to be healthy for the holidays. So we just decided that John should stay home. So unfortunately, you have me here today. And since I am not going to drone on for an hour, I'll be playing music in between as a true show, even though they may not be Christmas music. But, you know, I'm going to ask for participation for you that are listeners, and you can either give me a call here or get on my Facebook page, Rick Thompson, and message me one of your traditions or a favorite recipe of yours. Be better to call at 518-580-5783. But, and I got a couple here besides my own, and I just want to tell you that I am a little biased because I grew up in an Italian household, and I know you're going to say, Thompson, that's Italian? Well, my mother maiden name was D'Agostino, and my father was on his mother's side, Italian, and on his father's side, Dutch and German. So we're, you know, a little bit Italian, but we lived above my grandmother's growing up, and her house was the center focal point of Sunday dinners, and Christmas and Thanksgiving, birthdays were always a special, extra fantastic time where everyone sat around the table, as John talked about for a Thanksgiving cooking show, sat around the table and talked, and the children along with the adults, and we had a house full, aunt, uncles, cousins, and you know, aunt and uncles from out of town. It was really neat growing up in that environment, and unfortunately, you know, I lost that as I got older, and, you know, my aunt and uncles and my grandmother and grandfather passed away, and you get up to a point where, you know, you're the one that's doing it, and, yeah, either your wife and kids don't want to do it, or, you know, that you start your own traditions and that, but anyway, I'm going to wing it along, and we'll interlude with some music, so an hour and a half or an hour is a little bit too long for me to ramble on about it. Not really ramble on, because I can do that for longer than an hour. So we'll play some good music, and then after Talk Saratoga, you're going to get some great music with Homer Charbonneau's Homer in the Morning Dance Party, and he plays the best 3 hours of music in radio, as far as I'm concerned, and he's worth having the listening to the radio while you're doing things around the house or just having coffee, reading the newspaper and stuff. So here we go. John had sent a few things that he was going to talk about, which some of the things I can relate to and some I can't. But John is so great at devising a holiday meal that many of us just can't do because we don't have the knowledge or we'd have to try it 15 times to get one part of it right. But he was going to talk about a special dinner he prepared once for the holidays for a staff party, and he's put down big night menu. So I can't talk about that because any holiday dinner for me is a big menu, and I'm the only one that eats it. But anyway, I'm going to give you some of my traditions growing up, and I have a few of them here for some people that sent them in. If you'd like to call in, and you don't have to give your name, but you want to talk about a tradition that you had growing up or that you still carry on now with your kids or grandkids or brothers and sisters, give me a call, 518-580-5783. So what I can remember starting out was we always went to my grandparents, as I said, for dinner, and we had about... there may have been like 30 of us that used to go down. Christmas was great because we could wake up and open our gifts and then go right downstairs to my grandmother's. And so we were always there first and had a great time before. But when I was probably third grade, you could become an altar boy. And for those of you who know me, yes, I was an altar boy. And what we would do was Christmas Eve was a big night in Italian households because you had a celebration. And what the celebration was for was that it was an anticipation for midnight mass because Catholics believed then, and I don't know if they do now because everything's changed so much, that at midnight, when we started midnight mass, that was the celebration of when Christ was born. And we didn't wait until morning to go to morning mass. You did. A lot of people did. They didn't like staying up to midnight to go to church. But that was a recollection that probably my first fun remembrance of Christmas Eve, we'd have the seven fish, and I'll get into that a little bit more now, because you didn't eat meat on Christmas Eve, and back then fish wasn't as expensive as it is now, and then we would sit around the table and talk and maybe play a game or so, and then we would get ready to go to midnight mass. And after midnight mass, we went to my aunt's house and had hot cocoa and cookies. And this was probably 2 a.m, hot cocoa and cookies, and used to talk about stuff. And we'd leave probably at 3:30, and we'd go home. And, of course, when we were younger kids, we'd get up at 5:30 to open up our gifts, and there were three boys, so we kind of overpowered our parents as wait for a little bit longer, and that didn't hold with us. So but as we got older, it was really nice, and then we started to branch off a little, and I don't know, when I was a teenager, we used to go to my aunt and uncle's in Amsterdam and do the Christmas Eve meal, and then we'd leave there probably 11 o'clock and drive back to Gloversville to go to midnight mass. And to me, midnight mass was always special. It was altar boys got to wear their red cassocks once a year, and that was at Christmas Eve mass. And we had a procession and the incense and people singing Christmas carols. And, of course, Mass was in Latin back then, which I still love and I still go to down to Troy. But it was a magical time of the year incorporating the family meal and then into midnight Mass and then Christmas Day. So it was like a two-day holiday. And that is one of my favorite remembrances of growing up and having a tradition every year to look forward to starting in July. So I had a very nice childhood as far as that goes, and that was always a focal point of the holidays. And it makes a lasting impression on you when you have traditions, especially if you can carry them on today. So anyway, I want to talk a little bit about what the Feast of the Seven Fishes are and what are some of the classic seafood dishes to cook and serve. The meaning of the Seven Fishes on Christmas Eve, it's part of the Italian-American Christmas Eve celebration, and every nationality has their own Christmas Eve celebration. Catholics around the world, every nationality has a special thing, and I'm sure other non-Catholic households do as well. It's not just Catholics, but growing up in an Italian-American family, it's not called a feast in Italy, but it's considered a grand meal. And the Feast of Seven Fishes came over here when the Italians emigrated to America. And so again, I'll say what is not eaten on Christmas Eve? It's meat. Meat is the only non-food you can eat on Christmas Eve. You can't eat it. So, and sometimes that's the time for fish and cheese dishes to shine. So I'm going to let you know what we had, some of the fish that we had on Christmas Eve. And I can remember my grandmother getting up in the morning, and the day before she would, they didn't have a car, my grandparents, and my grandfather was a tailor and used to walk to work or take a cab when he got older. And my grandmother used to help him out 3 days a week for half a day in the tailor shop. And then she would do the day's grocery shopping and walk home and cook all afternoon, every day of the week, and that's how I grew up with, you know, my grandmother in the kitchen cooking. So Christmas Eve, she'd get up and she would start getting the fish ready. So our typical fishes included bacala, which is salted cod. Shellfish of some kind. Here it's Frutti del Mare, which means fish of the sea, and it could be shrimp, crab, or lobster, whatever shellfish that was available for a good price back then. Capitone was another one, and that is eel, and prepared the right way. It was delicious. Today I wouldn't touch it, but back then, you didn't know any better, and it was tradition. Squid was another one that we used to have. My grandmother would make it in a spaghetti sauce, and we would have that over our linguine as part of the meal and part of the seven fishes. Squingili, which it's really not that easy to get here. If you live near an ocean, you know the conch shells, and that's where they used to pull that stuff out of. And you can buy it partially frozen and cooked or in cans. But I don't know where my grandmother got it back then. We didn't dare ask. And it has, squingili has a pleasant briny flavor and a dense meaty texture. Clams was another fish that we had, and the added two, we'd either have them on the half shell or it was put into spaghetti too with the squid. One of the other fish that she used to make was smelt. And those are little teeny fishes, and she used to bread them and bake them in the oven, and they were great. So those are some of the fishes we had, and, you know, all the fish were great. Also popular at the Christmas Eve meal was vegetables. They were always a great, we used to have the fish and the spaghetti and vegetables. And she used to make fried artichokes and pickled vegetables like beets and squash and whatnot. Fried squash blossoms, which is a little bit hard to get at Christmas time up here because you have to know how to pick the flowers from the squash so you don't pick too many of the males. Otherwise, they won't cross-pollinate and you don't get squash. Sometimes you can buy them in ethnic stores. You know, if you find an Italian store that, you know, sells stuff, they may have them that time of the year, but you cut them up and make a fritter or you can stuff them and, you know, I always liked them cut up in a batter and made into a fritter. They were delicious. So those are some of the fish, the seven fish and the custom of why that came about. You know, families still do it today. I know my cousin in Syracuse, my aunt is still alive, and she does a lot of the cooking, but she's from Fulton, New York, and they go to Fulton to her side of the family. She's got a brother that's still alive, and his family is quite large, and they have the feast, they eat all the food, and, you know, my one cousin, he tells me that he can't hardly get to the car to drive back to Syracuse because he's so full. But it is fun because you're sitting around the table for about 3 or 4 hours talking and eating and just having a great time. So that's always hard. We talked about different countries having their traditions. And by the way, our phone number here, you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM, Skidmore Radio. And the phone number here is 518-580-5783, so you can call and help me out here if you want, and give us some of your favorite things you want to talk about, because I'm going to start getting daffy here in a while, and you may not like it. So if you have a favorite cookie, too, yeah, call in. I've got a couple of those and that have sent in, so we'll talk about that. But 12 traditional Christmas Eve dishes in Poland. Okay, now I'm going to slur this terrible because I can hardly make sense of the English language, and I shred that all to heck. So, you know, I'm not going to say any of this right of Poland's dishes, but they have perniki, which is Polish gingerbread, barczywani z ulami, something like that. It's red borscht with mushroom dumplings. And kapusta z grozek, cabbage with split peas. Żarnowa saltkara, vegetable salad. And if a bit of this sounds like Star Wars, if I can't pronounce the names, I go into my Star Wars routine. So, you know, just bear with me. Carp, fried or baked in aspic. And that's beyond me what aspic is, but whatever. Pierogi z, and I think the z is and because it's always in between two words. Z grzybami I kapuska, and that's mushroom and cabbage pierogi. And golbaki is rice stuffed cabbage rolls. Chala, it's a plated Jewish bread. Sernik, Polish cheesecake. Kutia, which is wheat flour and honey dessert. Wheat flour that you have to wait for. Mikolwick, which is a poppy seed cake, and compote, which is a smoked fruit cordial. I think everybody's heard of a compote. But so every nationality has their own traditional Christmas Eve food fest that they partake in, and that's great. I mean, you know, growing up like that is a good thing, and if you can carry those traditions on, it's a wonderful thing to carry on for yourself. You know, when you first get married, and then when children come along, you can carry on traditions, you know, right straight through and pass it down from generation to generation. Unfortunately, in my household, I couldn't pass these down because a lot of the fish is fried, and my wife doesn't like fried foods. And my children, they don't like fish, and they don't eat fried foods. And what else? Well, pretty much they don't eat a whole heck of a lot. But anyway, it's what you do. And that's why you'll find a lot of Italians overweight like me as you get older, because you've just stuffed yourself so much at holidays, which we were taught to do. And, you know, we go from there. But anyway, one thing I said to John was, you know, I'm a big Scrooge fan, A Christmas Carol. And one of the things that is in, I own every Christmas Carol movie that was ever made, going back to the 1920s, except the Jim Carrey Christmas Carol, the Patrick Stewart Christmas Carol, and the Marlo Thomas Christmas Carol, where they put a Marlo Thomas was Scrooge, and that just didn't fly. I just couldn't wrap my head around that. But anyway, I even have Magoo's Christmas Carol and the Flintstones Christmas Carol, which is pretty neat. Magoo's my favorite. But anyway, when Scrooge has his awakening and he opens the window and the little kid's at the bottom, he flips him a coin and he said, "Do you know that big goose in the window at the meat shop? And go buy it and tell them to send it to this address," which is the Cratchit residence. And so Christmas goose, what the heck is Christmas goose? I haven't had a Christmas goose, and I don't know anybody that's ever had a Christmas goose. Well, it was very popular, and over, I guess, the last 50 years, and John would have been able to bring me more up to speed on this, so you're going to have to believe what I said, which most people don't, but hey, whatever. The Christmas goose, it was a roast goose, and was a centerpiece for the Feast of Michael and all the Angels, which is, that's when the goose, you could get the goose from that day, the 29th of September, until Christmas Day. So what the Christmas goose is, it's a goose by any other name, right? Well, not exactly. Domestic geese are most delicious at two times of the year, when they're young in early summer, and toward the end of the year when they're the fattest. So the second being precisely why they're called the Christmas goose. And similar to a Thanksgiving turkey. I mean, you know, you can't have turkey any other time of the year because it's not Thanksgiving. But a goose requires a couple hours to fully cook and are usually roasted in a pan filled with spices and citrus. They're all dark meat, really rich and flavorful, and they prefer the moistness of the goose over the turkey. Turkeys, though, for Christmas and Thanksgiving are way cheaper. A 10-pound goose can cost a little over $15 a pound, and compared to a Spiro ham, which costs $2.91 a pound, or turkey in at a cool $1.28 a pound, which the ham and the turkey, stores take a loss on them at Thanksgiving and Christmas to get you to come in and buy the other things that go with the dinners. So they're kind of lost leaders for grocery stores, but hey, hey, not the Christmas goose. And so around $15 or a little bit more a pound, an average 6 to 8 person dinner, the goose should weigh 12 pounds. So your total for that crazy Christmas goose is $180. And I don't know, just a little bit more so I can see why the Christmas goose is falling out of favor. And the goose tastes, everything tastes like chicken, right? Nah, the goose tastes like beef or moose meat. And to tell you the truth, I've never had moose meat, but if it tastes like that, forget it. I mean, no way. If you're still looking for a ham or turkey for Christmas, internet says that Aldi's has an Appleton Farm spiral half ham, and it goes for 95 cents a pound. And they said that the Appleton hams are very, very good. So if you haven't gotten anything yet or you want to get one and freeze, try Aldi's and look, check those Appleton Farm spiral half hams over. So anyway, I'm going to give you some statistics on what turkeys and hams and how many people have some of each. After one of the songs we play, there may be a little bit of a brief down period in between because I'll have to excise the witch in Rio Lindo. That means edit. The song out of the show. So if I decide to put it up on YouTube or my podcast page at SaratogaBroadcasting.com, I won't get in trouble with the music industry. So I'll have to remove the song. But we're going to take a little bit of a break because I'm getting sick of listening to myself. And we'll come back and we'll talk about the number of turkeys and hams are sold for Christmas and what we eat on Christmas Day, some of the cookies that are my favorite. And if you don't call in, I'm not going to tell anybody what your favorite ones are. And then a little some of the traditions some people had sent me in there. So we're going to play a little song now. So we'll be right back. Okay, for better or worse, I'm back, and I'm your host of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson. We're without a guest this morning. He was under the weather, so you're putting up with me. You're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio, and the number in the studio is 518-580-5783. And if you... Once again, I'll put the plea out to call in with either one of your traditions, one of your recipes, or your favorite cookie. So before I get into what Americans eat on Christmas Day and my a traditional Italian Christmas dinner, which I'm coming from that point of view so I can talk, you know, throw enough things in the side. If I was talking about another nationality's favorite dinner, I just have to say what it was. I couldn't, you know, input anything into it. So, according to Time Magazine, Americans consume an estimated 22 million turkeys on Christmas Day. They also purchase an estimated 318 million pounds of ham around Christmas. We used to have turkey on Thanksgiving, a pork roast on Christmas, and a ham on Easter. But I think during the pandemic and the lack of workers, I found the last, you know, I was trying out some pork roast from October and November that they didn't taste good. And I don't know if that has anything to do with it because it consistently tasted that way. And usually where I get the pork roast, they're always good. So my wife said, you know, we've got a couple coming over for Christmas, and I don't want to get a pork roast that's going to taste bad, because then what do you do? And I said, well, we can sit and look around at each other until dessert comes out. But she didn't go for that. Didn't think it was funny. So this year we're having ham, and we'll have it again on Easter. But I love ham, so I'm okay with that. Because after, when the ham is left over, you know, when turkey, you make turkey soup. With ham, you make Italian soup. It's called minest, and you boil the ham with pepperoni in it until the ham falls off the bone. And then you add cannelli beans and escarole. And so with the pepperoni, ham, escarole, and cannelli beans, it makes a great meal. And so that's what you do with the leftover ham. So what do Americans eat on Christmas Day? Well, they eat a meal that resembles Thanksgiving. There's a turkey or ham, stuffing, mashed potatoes, and gravy. For Jewish people living in America, the tradition is to eat Chinese food, with most Chinese restaurants open on Christmas Day, and most of the restaurants are closed. But I find through friends that are Jewish, a lot of times what they'll do is they will go to the food kitchens, and they'll help with the dinners and put the dinners out, because they know mostly everybody else is at home with their family celebrating Christmas. So they'll take over the duties for the day, which I think is fantastic. And it just goes to show, when you have a blended country, that nationalities do help each other out, and you can work together. And this has been for years. I had a good friend who was an older fella that's what his family did. They just went down to one of the food pantries that supplied dinners for people to come in and eat and to take out. And the Jewish community served the whole thing. So that's very good. And you may have other things that you add at Christmas, and you may not even stick with turkey or whatever. But, you know, that's a traditional American dinner. What are the top 10 Christmas dinner foods? Well, you got classic bread stuffing. Now, this is according to a survey. That, you know, you may not think this is traditional, but Brussels sprouts with bacon and pecans, Pillsbury, now here again I mangle the English language, so tortiere, which is a French-Canadian meat pie. Well, anything that's got pie is good. But anything that's got meat in the pie, forget it. So, you know, that's in there. Roasted rosemary onions potatoes. Now, I tried this one year, and I searched for a week for rosemary. I couldn't find her. So I just had roasted onion potatoes, because I would have liked to find rosemary to throw her in there, but I couldn't do it. And they told me that was one of the traditional dishes, so I don't know. Who am I? crispy coated lemon pepper salmon, which I would have thought might have been Christmas Eve, but a perfect apple pie. What is a perfect apple pie? Well, I have no clue. I like apple pie, and I always thought everyone I tasted was perfect, but anyway, a simple cranberry sauce and a slow cooker wild rice with cranberries. So that's it. Now, getting into something that's dear to my heart is traditional Italian Christmas dinner. We eat pasta, manicotti, ravioli, or spaghetti with clam sauce. And then we sit around the table and talk. And now, this is when I was younger, by the way, because when I got married, life changed as I knew it. We'd sit around the table for a half hour, 45 minutes, and then my grandmother would bring out roasted veal or beef or ham, but you always had chicken with every meal, every Sunday meal, no matter what meat you had, you always had baked chicken. Why? I think, who knows? But it may have been in Italy, they don't have a lot of meat, and you know, but they have a lot of chickens. Sausages or braised beef are common, and along with the other stuff, I don't know. I mean, vegetables and your salad, it's just unreal. We also used to have lasagna, And I'm telling you, thank goodness I was a kid and I was more active, because I would be three times the weight I am now if we carried that tradition on. And, you know, I just don't understand it. But I would have loved to carry that tradition through. But my wife doesn't eat much. She's conscious. She doesn't have any sugar. She has to have gluten-free products. So, you know, as the wife goes, so goes the husband and kids. So when my daughters were small, we used to make a lot of cookies. She made a lot of cookies and make trays up for the teachers and for her church, her pastor. But now when the girls got out of high school, that went by, so I don't get a Christmas cookie. I have a friend of mine stop to Bella Napoli, buy me one cannoli, and when my daughter comes over Friday nights and I'm downstairs watching TV, I'll sneak the cannoli down and I will have it with a nice cup of coffee and be happy. So I'm going to go now to some of the favorite cookies of mine and a couple of the traditions. I mean, you heard me yak away about some of my traditions, but I'm going to talk. A couple people had Facebooked me some messages here. So some of my favorite cookies are, I make cream cheese flour dough, and then you let it and you throw butter in there too, because that's what makes it all soft. Put it in the refrigerator, let it harden, and you separate it in five different balls. Then what you do is you roll it out. And then you spread raspberry preserves on the top, and then you sprinkle it with crushed walnuts. Then you roll it up, and you bake it in the oven. And when it comes out, you sprinkle it with powdered sugar, and they're delicious. And I usually bring one to work, and I give one to a friend of mine. And, you know, they ask me to make it, but they don't know that I will anyway. And, of course, my wife and kids don't eat it because it's got sugar in it, and it tastes good. You know, and they're health conscious, and I'm very unhealthy conscious. So, you know, I like to eat that stuff. Cherry chocolate cookies were another one that I used to love, but I don't make them anymore. But I do make rum balls. And I love those. Of course, my wife and two daughters don't, because they don't like the taste of the rum. But, you know, I'll bring some of those to work and then give those away to some of the people that like them. And they're great, because you can drink and drive with those, because when you eat them, the rum tastes really good, but I don't think it shows up on your blood alcohol unless you have a dozen or more. And I probably could eat a dozen at one sitting. So those are some of my favorite cookies, and I'm going to read some of the traditions that I got from some Facebook things here, but I want to read, if I can find it, I want to read a little promotion here, which I'm going to use as a PSA. On December 31st, the Children's Museum at Saratoga will be closing the doors at its location on 69 Caroline Street in Saratoga. In preparation for their move to the Lincoln Baths building at Saratoga Spa State Park, during the last week of 2021, the museum will be hosting its annual noon New Year's Eve event to both celebrate the new year and commemorate this bittersweet moment in the museum's history. Join the museum for this week-long celebration and recall fond memories of the past while looking forward to an exciting future. During this week, the museum will be open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And they hope to see you there. And I didn't realize what the impression the Children's Museum made on people. Yesterday, on my, you know, everybody knows that I drive school bus for Upstate Transit, and we take special needs kids to school. And one of my monitors said that she took her grandkids there when they were smaller, and she said, what an unbelievable place that was. She said, everything is geared towards children, and it's all hands-on. No computer, no games. Everything is hands-on to learn. And she goes, it was great. And she used to take them there all the time. So if you have a chance this week, I know this is the worst week for people to do things because they're running all over the place getting ready for Christmas. But if you do get a chance this week to go down there at 69 Caroline Street, try and do so. And if not, when they open up in the state park, take your little kids or your grandkids there. And I'm telling you, you'll find a new experience that you'll probably want to do all the time to keep them busy, because today, sitting around and playing video games or on the computer is the thing to do for kids, and get them out and expand their horizons a little bit. You'll be happy, and the kids will be happy, too. So in a few minutes that I have left, I am going to read these two notes that I was sent here. One person said, we do themes at Christmas. Ugly sweater. Everyone wears an ugly sweater, and they have a gift for whoever's voted the ugliest sweater. They have a favorite movie. They bring a DVD over of a movie, and then they'll pick a movie out of the bag, and whatever movie comes out, that's the one they'll watch. The boys always, they make or they try new recipes. So she said her sons make recipes for the family to try. And I think that's great. You know, it teaches the kids learn how to cook, and you can always help out in the kitchen. And that's a great thing to do. And when they grow up, your wife will appreciate it. Another tradition is hat themes. They wear different colors, different logos, and they also have a favorite. They'll pick a favorite hat, and that person will win a little prize. And a favorite T-shirt. And again, you know, they wear a favorite T-shirt, probably under that ugly Christmas sweater. And whoever votes for the favorite T-shirt, they win a little prize. They don't have to be much. You know, $50 gift certificate to Amazon or no. I'm only kidding. Whatever. Their favorite dinner is ham. So that's another ham lover, and that's what their tradition is. And she said that when she signed it, she said they carry it on from when she was a child, and now she has grandchildren, and they've carried that tradition on every year since she was a kid. And that's what you like. You like to see that passed down from generation. So the next one is their whole family gets together at her mom's house and do a potluck supper. Then everyone gets a family photo taken. Now, this person said that they have a huge family. How huge, I don't know, but they have a huge family. Nobody wants to get their picture taken, but they begrudgingly do so. And then after the picture, everybody wants a copy of it. So there you go. After dinner, they play bingo. And the young kids and old, they both play bingo for scratch-off tickets, for lottery tickets. So if you win the bingo game, you'll get a dollar lottery card, and the kids love scratching them off or whatever. And she said, we eat, drink, and be merry. And their favorite food is cookies. So, and I happen to know this person, and she makes, the other day she made the peanut butter balls that were dipped in chocolate, and I think she said she made 240 of them. And that's only one, and she probably makes like 6-7 different kinds. So you know what she does when she's not working. And I want to go over there Christmas Eve to play bingo because, you know, a dollar in a dream, you never know what you can win with a lottery ticket, you know. And the kids are happy, and they have a great time. Well, you know what? It was great having everybody that is listening here this morning. And, you know, I feel bad for John that he couldn't be here because he was really looking forward to it. And on the other hand, and I'm sorry I couldn't talk the whole hour, but because I really don't like to hear myself talk. But, you know, it'll be better next time, and we'll see what happens there. So right now, I think I'm going to turn it over to Homer, and you're going to have Homer's In the Morning Dance Party, and he plays the best music from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, and throws a little 90s in there and keeps you up to date on the happenings of the weekend. And he's on from 9 until noon. And I have to tell you, I play my favorites on Saturday mornings from 7 to 8. But for 3 hours, Homer plays all my favorites in 3 hours every Saturday. And I love music. It's a great way to express yourself. And I find it's hard to talk to people in the beginning. And from music, you can kind of express yourself, especially, I feel, 80s music. They have the best lyrics, I think. And there we go. So, Homer, you have a Merry Christmas.
You too, Rick. And thank you very much. Okay. And hope you have a great time with your family and eat a lot of Italian food. Sounds good.
I will.
I never pass up a piece of or a plate of pasta.
I never pass up a plate of anything, Homer.
And So we will be seeing you. Well, we won't. I won't be here next week, and you won't be here either, will
no.
you?
January 8th will be. I'm not coming New Year's Day, and you are.
Yes, I will be here.
So I'll be here on the 8th of January, which is the first Saturday in January, and I will have a representative from the Children's Museum on.
Oh, that'll be great.
The guest. Yes. So I'll wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Same to you. And on the day that I'm filling in for you, will you like me to play one of your best shows? Or would you, I have another idea in mind.
Go with your idea.
Okay, because what we're going to do is I've been planning this out, and for 5 hours we are going to play all number one songs from beginning in 1955 right up through the 1989. I'm putting it together now, and it'll be a lot of great music. Everything I play will be a number one song throughout the year. So
you know what I'm going to do New Year's morning? I'm going to listen to your show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I think that's excellent.
Oh, good.
And it'll be a great show.
All right.
As always.
So we'll be filling in for you, and you can, even if you sleep in a little bit, that's okay.
I don't. I get up. I'm up at 4 o'clock every morning, so don't worry about it. I'm going to listen because you got great taste in music. So
well, thank you so much.
Great holiday.
Yes, you too.
Bye-bye, everyone. Have a Merry Christmas.
Okay.